Yes, good to be with you, and good to bring the Word of God. We're going to read in the last book in the Bible, the book of Revelation, and in chapter 1. Revelation 1 and verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent it and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. That message has been relayed through different folks from God to his son, who has sent it by his angel to his servant John and his servants. Verse 2 says, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth and that heareth the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Unto him that loved us, or loves us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so. Amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. And I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that speak with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands was one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his foot, and girt about the breast with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if it were burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive for evermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Write the things that thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands, The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks, the seven lampstands which thou sawest, are the seven churches. What a wonderful picture that we have there, and it's all about the Lord Jesus. When he was here upon this earth, men despised him, men rejected him. He was a man of sorrows, the Bible says, and acquainted with grief. What we have here is a revelation, an unveiling of who this person is. This is the person we're here to talk about tonight. We're not really interested in ourselves. We're not really interested, we are in a sense, in what's happening in the world around us. We see things happening there. But really, we're interested in the Lord Jesus. That's why we've come. We've come to hear some good news. As you look around the world tonight, it's bad news, and a lot of bad news. But when we come to hear about Jesus Christ, it's good news. And here we have, in this chapter and in this book, we have an unveiling of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got the curtain, as it were, the veil pulled away, and we're seeing something of who the Lord Jesus Christ really was. When he was here the first time, men didn't see anything of this. Yeah, they saw flashes of it in his miracles, it's there. And we remember that John chapter 2 tells us that this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, when he turned the water into wine, and he manifested forth his glory in doing that. And in these miracles that the Lord Jesus performed, we've got the manifestation of the glory of him. And we have different miracles shown to us there, where his glory was seen, who he really was. One day he took three disciples up to a mountain, and on that mountain, as he prayed, the Bible says that the fashion of his countenance was altered. His face was shining like the sun. His garment was flashing like lightning, and he saw in him the glory that was in his person. It's there. But man never really saw that. And he saw a poor peasant man. They saw one who was brought up in a despised city of Nazareth. They saw one who was just a poor preacher who went from place to place. And yet, this one was God, manifest in flesh. This is the greatness of the beauty of Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus had been crucified, and we'll just think about that in a moment. And he had been raised from the dead, he had gone back to heaven. And here now, when this book is written, the Lord Jesus has been in heaven for some time, maybe 60 years since the Lord Jesus went back to heaven, when God gave John, the Apostle John, this revelation of his Son and things that are going to happen in the future, what God has in store for men and women. You see, God has a plan for this world. This world is not just going to wind itself up. It's not just going to burn itself up. It's not just going to do that. God has a plan for this world. And that plan is in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's the one who's going to sum everything up, and everything will be revealed in him here. And so God is going to give us a revelation, an unveiling of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we read the book, sometimes we find, I'm sure that it's maybe not the most generally read book in the Bible, for those of us who read the Bible, it's there. But we are told here that when God sent this book, he signified it by his angel to his servant John. He signified it. He did it in signs. So this book is full of sign language, is what you're seeing in the book here. Sign language never changes, eh? Meanings of word change, and we know that in the world today, that words that we used as a boy have a totally different meaning from what we use today. It's there. But when you have a sign, and that sign is given, it's the same, and it goes on continually. And those who teach the language to those who have impaired hearing, and use sign language. Well, these signs are there and these signs go on and the meaning is the same of these signs. And if we were just to know the signs that are written in the book here, we can find out tremendous amount of what is going to happen in the future time. And we're not too worried about that tonight, but we are interested in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the revelation of himself. And we read in these verses that we have there who this one is and who came. John bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ in all the things that he saw. And there is a blessing to everyone who reads the prophecy of this book. There are seven blessings in the book, seven beatitudes. That's what the blessings are. The beatitudes of Matthew's gospel. Blessed are blessed. Well, here's the first blessedness in this book here. Blessed to read this book there. And there is many of you who are giving this book. It wouldn't be as easy to read as some of the other books. But there is a blessing, a happiness, and a blessedness in reading this book and seeing what it is. Now, John then has his revelation and he gives it to us. And he's writing it, as he says, to the seven churches which are in Asia. These were churches that had been founded. There were both churches not in Asia, but here are seven representative churches that he's writing the message to, and they're formed in a circular way right around Asia Minor, starting at one and going from one to the other. And these churches get a letter written from the risen head, the Lord Jesus Christ, to them. I sometimes think as you read these, which church we would come into as we read these things. Where do I fit? Where does my church fit into the pattern there? Because it will fit into one of them as we read it here. That's there. But John is saying to us then, grace and peace be unto from him. Grace and peace. Here's the Lord Jesus now giving us a message. Two things. Grace. Grace, that which the Lord gives to us, which we do not deserve. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ which bringeth salvation into all men. And it's the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that takes men and women who are sinners and brings them into a relationship with God himself, giving them fellowship with God through his grace. And of course, that grace of the Lord Jesus, when it is felt in our lives and known in our lives, brings peace into our lives. And in a world that is full of distress and full of suffering, where do we find peace? Well, there is peace to be found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the one of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is peace for each one of us tonight in the Lord Jesus. And so grace and peace. And look who it's from. It's from him, says the scriptures in there, from him which is, and which was, and which is to come. That's just an interesting word. These three words just could be summed up in one word, Jehovah. That's what Jehovah means, which is, which was, which is to come. So the first message is from Jehovah himself. Grace and peace is coming to you and I. Isn't it good that God himself has spoken to us in grace and peace? And then he says from the seven spirits, which is a picture of the completeness of the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit is coming, and coming to bring grace and peace to the life of men and women is here. And then that is from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Now here's a great picture of the Lord Jesus himself. He is the faithful witness. When the Lord Jesus was here upon this earth, he was faithful to his God and to his Father. And he could tell continually to men and women this great fact: I do always the things that please the Father, and I witness to the Father. And as he spoke to these Jews, who religious leaders, who challenged him after his life, and accused him of being a liar, and accused him of teaching by the power of Beelzebub, the prince of demons, the Lord Jesus says, I am the truth. I know where I came from. I witness to the things that my Father has said. And the Lord Jesus Christ is a faithful witness, and what he told us is true. No wonder people say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And here was one who was the truth. And what he said could be witnessed and could be rested upon. He is the faithful witness. So that when we speak to folks tonight concerning the Lord Jesus, we speak to one who is faithful in everything he says. We can't do that. We can't rest upon the words of men. Oh yes, they may stand up. Just think of it in our papers, even the last week. We've got that fellow there who said, no, I never did this, and he adamantly said it wasn't me. And then 2 or 3 weeks later, he's confessing, yes, I did it. You couldn't rest on the word of man. And all, every one of us are in problems with this. But when it comes to Jesus Christ, there is no doubt in resting upon his word. He is the faithful witness. And what he's seen and heard, he tells. And he tells of the works and of the ways with the Father and of the one. So he is the faithful witness. And then he is the first begotten from the dead. And this Lord Jesus that we tell you about tonight died. Yes, he was dead. But he is alive forevermore. And this book tells us time and time again this, I was dead, but I am alive forevermore. He died. And the word of God is he died for our sins. And that's the greatness, and we'll see that just in a second. But he's not dead any longer. The price he paid for sin was completed. He cried on the cross, it is finished. The work of salvation was done, and he went into death, buried, but rose again the third day, and is ascended to God's right hand. And he is there today, and he is the first begotten from the dead. And because he died, says the scriptures, everyone who is trusting in him will be raised from the dead to go with him. And because he died and rose from the dead, it is a sign that all men will be raised from the dead. All people will be raised from the dead at one stage. And he speaks about that. So this one who is a faithful witness was dead and is alive. And then he goes on to say he is the king's, the first begotten from the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth. And here he is one who is above all. All kings, all rule, all authority that we have in this earth, the Lord Jesus Christ is above it, above there. So we're speaking of the greatness of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and the wonderful thing and person he is and the position he has and the work that he has done, and we rejoice in that. Now it seems like as John is telling this story, suddenly those who are listening to it, they break forth in sound and rejoicing and they say, unto him that loved us, or unto him that loveth us, number one. Number two, washed us or loosed us from our sins in his own blood. Number two, and made us kings and priests unto God the Father. To him be glory and dominion forever. Amen. So here are three things he said, and three things that are so important for us to grasp here today. He has loved us all. And read the end of the verses. He loveth us. He loveth us. This Lord Jesus Christ is alive. He's in heaven. And he loveth us. And every one of us today in this room who has known the Lord Jesus Christ in a very personal way, when we trusted him as our Savior, we know this fact, that day by day he loves us. There's never a moment of every day in which the love of Christ is not revealed to us. And that's a wonderful thing. Wherever we are, whatever state we're in, sometimes we don't feel like being loved. But he loves us and he showers it upon us. And he continues to love us. And it's great to know that we are loved of God. And if we're not a Christian and we're sitting here tonight, The great fact is still to us, the Lord Jesus Christ still loves us. He loves us with all his heart. And the Bible tells us the great extent of his love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the greatness of his love is for the whole world tonight. And regardless of her state, her color, her standing, whatever it is, whether a young or old, male or female, black or white, or whatever we are, rich or poor, the Lord Jesus Christ loves us with the same intense love for everyone. And the Lord Jesus Christ went to Calvary's cross for everyone. That's a wonderful thing, because that's what he says in this next statement here. He loves us, he loveth us, and he has washed us from our sins, or loosed us from our sins. And the picture is of sin holding us as a captive, holding us in its thrall. And we're slaves to sin. That's what the Bible says. And the Lord Jesus said that himself. He said, whoever committeth sin is the slave of sin. Sin holds us in our grasp. It has us there. And we can't break that grasp in our own strength. It's there. But the Lord Jesus Christ has given the ability and has made it possible for men and women to be freed from the grasp of sin. And that power is this, that he died for us upon the cross of Calvary. It was with his own blood, the shedding of his blood. And that's why it is so important that when we come on a meeting like this, that we tell about the Lord Jesus Christ dying on the cross of Calvary. Yes, it's great to see in him a good life, a holy life, a wonderful life. A life that no other man has lived, a life in which he pleased God in every step. But that will never save us. The salvation of our souls was precious, and it required that the Lord Jesus Christ gave himself as a sacrifice to God for sin. No man can redeem his brother nor give to God a sacrifice for sin, but the Lord Jesus Christ did. And upon the cross of Calvary, he died for you and me, that our sins might be forgiven and eternally catered for and dealt with and removed from the presence of God. And Jesus Christ has died for our sins. And he lives and is able to forgive us our sins. And these people who are speaking here, they have experienced the joy of that in their heart. And just as there are people in this room tonight who have experienced that in their life, they can go into a moment in time when they trusted Christ as their Savior and their sins completely left them and fell away. I don't know if some of you look at the one show on television after the news. I don't know what's up with it. But I did see on that the Archbishop of York was going to be interviewed. That's what I listened to it. But it was most interesting after he did that there were three people who were interviewed, and each one of them told of their conversion to Christ the Savior. They quite openly, boldly, they told of their sinnership, how they were sinners in Christ. But there was that moment in their experience. They told where it was, exactly how it took place. They trusted Christ as their Savior, and they were set free. They were a new person. They were changed. Their lives were different. It was there. And it was quite interesting just to hear this on the national news this week, just to hear that wonderful thing. And every one of us who are seated in this room tonight can say exactly the same thing. I can go to a place where I bowed my knee and accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I was only 13 years of age when I did it, and it was there. That sealed my destiny. And I can say from my heart now unto him that loves me, goes on loving me, and has loosed me from my sins, and I'm free tonight from the power of sin, and cleansed me. He has washed us in his own blood, and we are clean in the sight of God. In God's sight we're clean. Men might come to us with an accusing finger and point the finger and say, look at her, she did this, or look at him, he's done that. God says, look at my son, he has died for him. He has cleansed him from his sin. He has set him free. And that's a wonderful thing tonight that God has done. But then he's done more than that for us there. And he has made us kings and priests to God our Father. He has made us a kingdom of priests, is the idea that everyone who has trusted Christ as their Savior has been brought into this relationship of being a priest with God. Now, we don't dress up in fancy clothing to go into God's presence with bells and smells and all these things. But the wonderful thing is we can go into God's presence at any time, freely, men or women. We can come before Him and we can offer up our praises and our thanksgiving. We can bring our sacrifice of praise to God the Father. Isn't it the wonderful thing that God has given to us in our being through faith in Jesus Christ, given us the liberty to come into God's presence, right into the near presence? My, the children of Israel, as they lived their life, they never had that opportunity. Oh, they were barred from going in. A big curtain was raised before them, and only one man once a year was able to go into the presence of God. It says in the Bible, not all without blood. But that curtain has been ripped away, torn from the top to the bottom. The bottom, when Jesus Christ died upon that cross and cried, it is finished, and the way into God's presence is open. You and I can go in at all times. During the night, when you waken up in our sleep, you can speak to God. In prayer, we can sing in our heart or sing with our lips if you want to do that through the night as well. It's quite nice to do it sometimes, though your wife complains, but never mind. It's good just to sing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. And the wonderful thing is, you're at liberty to do it. And God never says no. We can come with boldness into the presence of God. And so, what He has done for us tonight in the Lord Jesus Christ is tremendous. That work that the Lord Jesus did upon the cross when He died for us has been made good in our experience, and we are brought into the presence of God and we're able to worship God at all times. He's made us a kingdom of priests unto God and His Father. It says these folks who are crying, and we cry with them, unto Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And we can say that with authority. So says God. It's finished. Amen. It's done now. And then the picture changes. Because it tells us this. And you know, someone has said about this book, you know, if you read a novel, you're always tempted to go to the back chapter to see how it's going to finish. It's there. You know, everybody keeps the end there. But when God's writing, and when John's writing, He tells us about the end at the beginning, because He sums it all up in this next verse. And just look at what He says there. Behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him. And this one who went back to heaven is going to come one day to this earth, and He's going to come with clouds. Now, we're not the time to speak about these clouds, but there's a whole study of clouds in the Bible, starting with the Shekinah glory cloud in the tabernacle, working right through, and the cloud on the Transfiguration Mount. But here He's going to come with clouds. Every eye shall see Him. Every eye. And more than that, those who pierce Him, every eye shall see Him, and they also which pierced Him. Those who put Him upon that cross, those who maltreated Him in such a way, those Jews who were responsible for it, those soldiers who put the nails through His hands and feet, they're going to see Him. God's not finished with this world yet. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back to this world and every eye shall see Him. Oh, what a wonderful sight that is going to be when every eye shall see Him. You know, the one thing that does rejoice me is this. You will see Him before that and you'll be with Him when He comes. We'll be there. Imagine this, that when we come back to earth, we come back with Him. And there in all His majesty and glory, He'll be there. And we'll be with Him because we've been brought into a relationship with Him through faith in His death upon that cross. Wonderful thing that God has got with us. Every eye shall see Him, those who pierced Him shall see Him. And all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. People are going to realize that what they did with the Lord Jesus Christ, how they crucified Him, how they set Him aside, and what God has done with Him, there's going to be a great deal of wailing. The sad thing is, the Bible goes on to tell us, if we have not bowed to him in time, we'll bow to him then, and we'll be cast into the lake of fire forever. That's sad. And tonight, we can have our sins forgiven. Christ has died for us. We can rejoice in these sins forgiven. And we can look up to him and know that he loves us tonight. And that we'll be with him. And when he comes again, we'll come with him in glory. Now that's going to be a great day. Are you ready for it? Are you ready for that coming tonight? Oh, may we see the Lord Jesus Christ in all his beauty, in all his wonder and splendor. May we just rejoice in him and rejoice that we're a Christian. And if we're not, what's stopping us from bowing before him, confessing our sin, and taking him as our Lord and Savior? Let's pray. So bless us, Father. Bless your word to us. May it be that the Lord Jesus Christ may be honored and made very high in our lives tonight. May we just rejoice in him. We give thanks for him, Father. And give thanks that we're going to see him. We're going to be with him. We're going to be like him. And we're going to come with him when he comes back to reign and to rule. We look forward, Father, to these days. And we just commit ourselves into your heart and give our thanks for the Lord Jesus Christ in his precious name. Bless now as we have a time of fellowship and refreshment. We pray for this and give thanks for the food that has been provided in our Saviour's worthy and precious name. Amen. Could we just take time just to sit and sing one verse? Hymn number 83. Consider, behold, what Jesus has done. Behold how he suffered for thee. They crucified him, God's innocent son, forsaken, and died on the tree. Verse 5. We sing verse 5 in the chorus, keeping your seat. So what will you do with Jesus your King?
Thank you.